Well, this transfer of power resulted in an important shift in the axis of Islamic civilization. As-Saffrah and his successors increasingly drew upon the administrative talent, the intellectual talent, and the resources of Iran and Eastern Islam, including the fabled cities of Central Asia, who were linked across the Tehran Basin to China, that is the important Silk Road, as well as the commercial elites who were linked to India along the Red Sea and the Persian Gulf trade. To this end, there was the establishment by the second Abbasid caliph, al-Mansur, a new capital at Baghdad on the Tigris River, an immense undertaking. It took many, many years to construct. Reputedly, over 100,000 men were employed every year. Tremendous building materials brought in, much of it in mud brick and glazed tile in the tradition of Mesopotamia. But in 762, Baghdad was commissioned, officially dedicated as the new capital. Well, that shift was important for a number of reasons. Baghdad became, and its associated cities, there was later a capital at Samarra to the north for about 50 years, but the cities of Iraq became the engines that fueled economic development in the Islamic Empire. They became some of the most important centers of Islamic trade. Furthermore, by shifting the access from Syria to Iraq, the succeeding Abbasid caliphs also came to depend far more on their Persian subjects. Many of the Mawali, that is the non-Arab converts, came from Persia. They increasingly staffed the administrative posts, and they also brought in various Persian intellectual traditions, ceremonial traditions. And as a result, the Abbasid court and the Abbasid caliphate has been seen very favorably by later Muslims as sponsoring the proselytizing of Islam. And that gets us to our second point. The Abbasid caliphate has been remembered fondly because it is seen as the first true Islamic empire, or mulk, kingdom. Not only did the Abbasid caliphs rest their authority on these non-Arab specialists for their administration, they also came to base their military authority on mercenaries and very often slave soldiers recruited along the frontiers, especially Turks, but also Kurds, Europeans who were bought from the slave markets, often people of Slavic origin, Berbers in Western Africa, black Africans, all being bought and brought into the slave armies of the Abbasid Caliph. And why not? These men would be purchased at the age of 14 or 15, trained as Muslims. They had been removed from their home situation and would prove absolutely loyal and devoted to the caliph. And this would relieve the caliph, free the caliph from worrying about the old tribal discontent and rivalries that the Umayyad caliphs faced in dealing with their Arab regiments. In addition, the Abbasid caliphs promoted conversion to Islam. There's an enormous amount of debate as to the policy of the first Islamic caliphs toward the non-Muslim populations. It was probably dictated largely by pragmatism. In the initial stages of the conquest, cities that surrendered on terms, and most of them did, were simply not touched. And the Umayyad and even later the Abbasid caliphs used an old technique that goes back to the old Persian Empire, the Sassanid Empire, of running these communities through their religious leaders. So different Christian sectarian groups, once they surrendered, you dealt with their leader. That could be the Armenian Catholicus. It could be the Syrian Patriarch or the Coptic Patriarch in Alexandria. Or it could be the leading Jewish rabbis, if it's a Jewish group that has surrendered. There was a sense that the non-believers should be brought over to the true faith. But there wasn't the compulsion and conversion by the sword that many often assume in early Islamic conquest. Far from it. The vast majority of the population remained not Muslim well into the Abbasid era.